Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. It's great to be with you. Join us during the week, Fox Business Network. The name of the show is Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. And here you can live stream us on the internet, LarryKudlowShow.com, LarryKudlowShow.com. You can hear us all across the country, throughout the world, and throughout the solar system. And more recently, we've seen terrific ratings from the Milky Way. I don't know what that is, but I think it's very important. It's not a candy bar. Anyway, let's talk stocks, the economy. That's a key point. We had a good week for stocks. Yesterday, particularly, the Dow's up 700 points, and the S&P up 87, even the NASDAQ up 264. Interest rates fell a lot this week across the board. Big declines in rates. Not the shortest rate, the three-month Treasury bill, because the Fed is bound and determined to keep jacking up their rates and closing down the money supply, which is already shrinking. But everything else went down. In fact, the 10-year note off 32 basis points all the way down to 355, probably a lot of that, because of a soft jobs number yesterday. And Republicans finally took over the House. Kevin McCarthy is the new speaker. Excuse me. And one interesting question here is the era of big government socialism coming to an end, which would be good for growth and the economy. So we have Michelle Girard, head of U.S. Markets, NatWest Markets, and Kenny Polcari, managing partner at Case Capital Advisors and chief strategist at Slate Stone Wealth. Good to see you. This is my gal, Michelle Girard. I never see her. At least I can hear her voice. I've been in love with her for the last 40 years.
Oh, Larry, it's a mutual admiration society. You know that.
The wide Kudlow circle. That's what this is all about.
Exactly.
All right, Michelle. So, from your economic standpoint, and you're pretty darn good at it, what did the job numbers tell you? What's the outlook for the economy in the new year?
Well, you know, the headline job report number looked okay, obviously, right? Up 223,000, and it's, pretty close to, we've been running about 250,000 last 3 months. So it doesn't look like the pace of hiring has slowed. Although I will say when you look a little deeper, in particular, the hours work numbers, which we know is sort of a leading indicator maybe of future employment, future hiring, those were down again in December on top of a decline in November. You know, one of the things that concerns me is, firms are certainly loath to, I think, lay off workers. And we've talked about why that being a reason why maybe the number of people filing for unemployment benefits, the number of layoffs remains, relatively low because firms don't want to shed workers that were so difficult to find. But what's happening is that, they are seemingly cutting back on the hours that they're having them work. So I think that's a sign that things are perhaps cooling, and that can be often a leading indicator from slowing ahead on payrolls. And then, of course, later in the morning yesterday, we had the ISM services numbers out, which were much weaker than expected. I think, while the labor market is holding up, you are getting some signals, I think, from other indicators this week. As I said, ISM suggesting the service sectors are kind of moving into contraction. Very disappointing car sales numbers. Again, another weaker number decline. We're down to 13 million a little over 13 million in sales. You know, 2 months ago, we were over 15 million. So I think there is evidence of slowing. And the market rally is because the markets are hoping it will be a soft landing. They're confident, more confident. The Fed won't have to keep doing as much as maybe the Fed thinks they have to do. But the question is, you know, will we achieve a soft landing, or is it going to end up being something, you know, is something more concerning than what the markets are thinking about right now?
You know, you got, as you well know, to follow up, you've got now a deeply inverted yield curve
right
in the Treasury market. I mean, deeply inverted. Let me just look at this for a second, because those rates came down some more. So I use the old New York Fed model, Michelle, the three-month bill, which is 4.58. The 10-year note is 3.55. So 100 basis points inversion, which is a lot. The M2 money supply crashing, the index of leading indicators plunging. I mean, I don't know. I would take a soft landing, but I don't know.
I don't think we're going to achieve it. I mean, we've got a recession. It isn't a deep recession. We've got a contraction in GDP early next year of, you know, kind of between 1 and 2% in the first half of the year. And for the whole year, you know, you're down about 0.5%. So it's not a deep recession, but I think it's going to be not as smooth as, you know, or soft as people perhaps, you know, will skate by with maybe even avoiding it. And I think, you know, the verdict is out. I think there's a lot of concern, particularly as we get into the second half of the year, as you know, consumer savings, which people have, you know, looked to as kind of bolstering spending, even in the face of some cooling in demand. I don't know. I think a lot of things could come together that I think it's going to just be a very choppy year for the markets, back and forth between, you know, hoping that, the Fed can pause, or the Fed will actually be in a position to cut interest rates. That's really what's helping to bolster the market, I think, this expectation that we'll see a quick pivot over the course of 23 if we do end up in recession. And the question is whether or not the inflation numbers will be low enough to allow the Fed to do that. And I'm a little bit skeptical. I think the Fed is going to find it more difficult to lower interest rates, even in the face of the recession that we forecast.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Pocari, from most of these statements, the Fed is still licking its chops to keep raising rates and destroy what's left of the economy.
Yeah, I mean, we heard that from a half a dozen of them this week, right? Started with J.J. Powell, and then Kashkari, and then Esther George, and then Ralph Bostic. They all reiterated the fact that there's more work to do and that rates need to go. Kashkari said he saw another 100 basis points before he thinks we get to anything considered neutral. So it's a very mixed message, you know, that like the rally yesterday, which I thought was a little bit overdone. But I think that was part of take back from what happened on Thursday when they actually smashed the market after the ADP report. Because it was a stronger number. Yesterday's number, while maybe it's a little bit weaker than where we've been, it was certainly stronger than what the estimate was. And unemployment went down, and wages are actually softening, yet inflation is still at 7.1%. And so there's a disconnect for me in terms of the extent of that rally yesterday, right? And I think that'll pull back. And I agree with Michelle that, yes, I think we're in a recession. But I don't see how we're going to get a soft landing. I just don't see how we're going to get a soft landing. I think it's going to get more difficult. I think the first 4 to 5 months of this year is where we're going to see most of the volatility and the difficulty. And then I think it starts to stabilize. But, you know, let's see.
You know, one thing is, I know nobody believes this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the final election of Kevin McCarthy and the swearing in of the new House. Now, that formally happened after the market closed, but the votes during the day which showed McCarthy picking up steam and was going to win. I mean, I think the era of big government socialism, it may not come to an end, but I think it's going to really cripple Joe Biden's left-wing agenda. And I think that's bullish, okay? I think that's bullish. I don't think the Fed is bullish. I don't know. The Fed hates wages. The Fed hates jobs. The Fed hates low unemployment. Neel Kashkari, by the way, whom I know, hasn't gotten one one right since he came to the Federal Reserve Board. But that's not going to stop him from being a genius. He was a guy, right. I mean, he was one of the most outspoken, there is no inflation, it's transitory.
Right.
But let's put all that aside. We don't want to get too personal here, Michelle. But the fact is, I just think there's always a political overlay to this. Like future policies, we will spend less, tax less, regulate less, hate fossil fuels less. I think that's bullish for stocks.
Well, and I hope that I think just resolving it, because obviously the longer it you know, was drawn out. I mean, I was hearing people then worry about what is this even then set us up for, you know, in terms of the next presidential election. If the Republicans look like they can't get their act together, then is that, you know, and so to get this behind us so that, you know, because all the things you talk about are positive. I don't think anybody has expectations for much to have happened on the fiscal front, you know, over these next 2 years. But of course, you know, the big question will be in 2024. And that's, you know, anything that looks like it can keep us on a path, exactly as you said, where we can, not only are we going to be blocking, but is there a potential for actually a change in leadership that can once again move us into a environment?
Yes.
I think that's what's really important.
You know, it's so interesting to me, the mainstream media, all the libs in the mainstream media. Oh, the Republicans can't get their act together. So it took them a week. It's called representative democracy. It's called open, transparent discussion and debate. And by the way, the conservatives in the House made the whole story better. They made the whole story better. I mean, they're going to put in spending restraints and balanced budget efforts and 3/5 majority to raise taxes. Those are good things. Those are good things. If it took them a week to do it, fine. 100 years ago, it took them 133 ballots. In 1856, took them 2 months and 133 ballots. And I was kind of open to see that. Meanwhile, I mean, I was talking to John Catsimatidis on his radio show last night. John is our great owner and dear, dear friend. You know, gridlock is good. Checks and balances. Very bullish. And think of this. My pal Ira Stoll wrote a column. You have a conservative Supreme Court and a Republican House. Now that's going to stop socialism.
Yeah.
Conservative Supreme Court, by the way, don't forget EPA versus, the state of West Virginia and a Republican House. How bad can that be? How bad can that be?
Just coming back to the Fed, though, and you were talking about unemployment. And this is being sort of this isn't the right way to say it, but let's also face it, they will hate lower interest, you know, lower market rates and higher stock prices, because the easing in financial conditions obviously makes their job worse. So that's, you know, when you I think that this all this really vocal Fed speak pushing back against anything while we have to still stay on the path. They aren't going to let the markets run too much in the near term, because in their minds, that easing in financial conditions will only, you know, make their job ultimately worse. I think that, you know, that's another thing that the Fed is going to kind of push against, is I think feels the need to push against any optimism that you see in the markets, because they think it will end up meaning that they end up having to do more.
Well, he said that. He all but said that, I think, on Thursday, didn't it? When he said that, you know, basically he was telling everyone to calm down. Don't get so enthusiastic, because if stock prices and bond prices keep going up, you know, they're going to have to get more aggressive. I mean, they said it, which I was actually shocked at, because I didn't know that became their mandate. But but he actually, you know, they came out and said it, which I thought was very interesting.
They probably, I will bet you, the senior board staff took a look at that 700-point rally, and they were horrified.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Somebody out there is increasing their wealth. Oh, no.
Right.
And the unemployment rate down to 3.5. Oh, my God.
Right.
I mean, it's just a weird way to look at the world. I don't know how they deal with that. Maybe they need meds over there. They need some good, strong meds. Anyway, we'll talk about the innards of the market. We got economist Michelle Girard of NatWest Markets and Kenny Polcari of Case Capital Advisors and Slaystone Wealth. I'm Kudlow. More on the markets. Stick around, folks.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. I'm here talking stocks and the economy with Michelle Gerard of NatWest Markets and Ken Polcari of Case Capital Advisors and Slatestone Wealth. Kenny Polcari, what's the outlook for earnings? Profits are the mother's milk of stocks. They've got all these gloomy, very gloomy. It's funny, I think it was Michelle, but I think both of you suggested a slump in the first half of the year. Of course, we've been in a slump, but whatever. There was a big bank survey, but saying the second half of the year. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think earnings are going to come down to 2030. We've seen it. We've already seen estimates start to come down. It's going to be interesting because this week kicks off, the beauty pageant earnings season. The banks are going to start to report this week, J.P. Morgan, all the big banks. And then we're going to start to hear what these CEOs and CFOs are predicting for the next 4 to 6 months out, right? Where are profit margins going? Where's the supply chain going? What's the impact of China or not? What's the outlook for the U.S. economy? So, look, we know that Morgan Stanley thinks that earnings could potentially go for the S&P from 230, which is where they were originally, down to as low as 180, which I think is a very dramatic cut in numbers, which calls for their S&P 3000 number, which I think is ridiculous. I don't think they go there. But I think, if we find earnings somewhere around the 200 range at the end of the year for 2023, S&P earnings around 200, 205, I think that's probably based on what we see now in terms of the economy, the slowdown, the pace at which it's going to slow down, right? Now, unless the Fed gets really dramatic, and here's the only thing I would have to say about that. 2023 is an off year, Larry, right? So if the Fed really wants to, if they really want to crush the economy and try to get rates down to inflation down to 2%, this is the year to do it because 2024 is the presidential cycle, and they don't want to be crushing the economy then. They want to be stimulating and trying to get everyone to forget about the pain or difficulty in 2023. So I'm a little bit still on the fence about which way I think the Fed is going to go. Are they going to remain aggressive and do that in 23 to try to force inflation down to 2%? But if they do, it's going to get ugly for stocks and it's going to get ugly for the economy.
By the way, I don't actually think the Fed is that political. I just want to insert that. I think it's bad enough they never get a forecast right, but I'm not sure politics gets in the way. Michelle Gerard, how low can rates go? Market rates, not the Fed funds rate, but your 10-year down to 3.5-ish.
Even like Ken had sort of suggested, it all feels like we got a bit overdone last week. We've got a very important report coming out this coming week with the CPI. As much as we focus on growth, I really continue to think inflation is going to be the key driver because inflation is ultimately going to be able to will determine what the Fed is or isn't able to do. We've had a couple of good months where the CPI surprised on the low side. We actually have the December CPI coming in again on the lower side, lower than consensus. And if that happens, then again, I think you can see this bias toward somewhat lower market yields, that 10-year note you were talking about. But I wouldn't be chasing yields. I actually lean against this because I do think it's the Fed is going to continue to try to verbally, push back against these rallies in market rates, continuing to talk tough. And again, a lot of this rally is based on an expectation that the Fed will be able to cut rates later this year. And, while we have inflation coming down, I don't think we're going to get anywhere close to 2%, and I don't think the Fed is going to be able to kind of feed the market that rate cut it wants.
Well, I think he basically didn't. He told everyone in the minutes, if anyone is in this has this mind thought that we're cutting rates in 23, you better change that narrative because we are not. I mean, he basically said that. He looks at the first rate cut to be in 2024.
Right, exactly. The market, but that's not where the markets are. So this is where I think you continue to see, that risk that the Fed is going to continue. And let's face it, I think that, we have seen inflation come down. It has come down even a bit more sharply than we expect the last couple of months. But the move from 8 to 4, I was saying, we've been talking about, I think is a lot easier than the move from 4 to 2. And we may not see the continued progress, and at some point the market will have to rethink if we have the funds rate going up to 5.25% and holding there all through the year, and that forecast would not be consistent with a 3.5% 10-year note.
I think that it's interesting. I want the Fed to focus on prices, And I would say this, Michelle, if you remember our disciplines years ago at Bear Stearns, you look at the CRB futures or the CRB index, it's basically been flat now for 6 months. Oil prices way down. In fact, down again this week. Gold prices flat for the last 6 months. I mean, there is evidence that prices are stabilizing. It may take longer. I get that. But it is interesting. And on that point, we will say Happy New Year. Michelle Girard.
Happy New Year.
Kenny Polcari. Thanks, kids. Appreciate it. Folks, stick around. We're going to do some money and politics on the other side of the break. We have Steve Moore, and we have Liz Peek, and we have a Republican Congress and a Republican Speaker.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.